I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're going to start late night right now. We're not going to wait any further before we get to midnight. Coming up at 12:05, we will talk to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, Lake's Big Bet. If you listened to the show last week, you got paid. Okay, so hopefully we'll give out a couple of more winners tonight, a couple of big races. And there's a big concert that's going on at Canterbury Park this weekend that I know Jeff Madej will have some information and we'll be telling you guys all about here in about 15 minutes from now. But I'm hanging out here at Target Field, and I do want to just kind of finish off this this final segment here before the top of the hour break, just talking about the Twins. And I know that fans will look at what's going on with the Twins right now, and I know that there's a level of frustration that's building, and people are getting a little bit anxious and kind of on pins and needles, but we're Minnesotans, man. We're used to this, right? Nothing comes easy. I've been a Minnesota sports fan my whole life, and the Vikings have never won a Super Bowl. The last time I felt like the Vikings were going to a Super Bowl, remember that Minnesota miracle? Just a couple of years ago? Mm-hmm. I remember doing like a Facebook, not a Facebook Live, but I did like a video or something like that. And I'm sitting on my couch in Kansas City, and I said right into the camera, I said, this never happens to us. Like what I just witnessed, that specific play against the Saints, and then what ended up happening the next week when I thought it was that we were going. We lost to the Eagles, man. And here I am, I'm thinking, I watched Nick Foles. I talked to Nick Foles when he was a backup quarterback for the Chiefs. Nick Foles ain't beating us. And we got our butts kicked when we went to Philadelphia. So my point is that if you're a Minnesota sports fan, look, we got to, man, come on, man, lace them up. We're not throwing in the towel. We just grind. That's what we do. Our day's coming. The same way it came in 87, the same way it came in 91. The Twins have been there, done it. They won championships. Have faith in the squad. Vikings eventually, hopefully, knock on wood, will win a Super Bowl before I'm dead.
You had to bring up the Minnesota Miracle League.
I'm just saying.
Mean, come on now.
Come on now.
You talk about 87 wide left next or what?
Timberwolves. When they went to the Western Conference Finals that year, if Sam Cassell doesn't get hurt, oh, gosh. Life of a Minnesota sports fan. So I can't, you know, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not, am I feels a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. But we're still three games up in the division, right? I feel like everybody acts as though, like, all of a sudden we're trailing in the division now. Plenty of baseball left. It's a long season. What did Mike Tyson say? Enjoy the season. Mike Tyson never got us to a Super Bowl either. Gosh. I am going to be better. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Lake's Big Bet, typically at 11:30. We're doing it at 12:05. We're giving you some winners. And I know there's one specific winner he'll bring up from last week that got you paid. We'll talk to Jeff next. It's a little bit later than the typical time that we do Lake's Big Bet, but nonetheless, we want you guys to make some money. We want to have some fun here on Lake's Big Bet. Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, he joins me each and every Friday night. Jeff, what's going on with you, my man?
Hey, Henry, how you doing? We just wrapped up the second night of the Twin Cities Summer Jam, so I'm still sitting in the office after checking out a concert. It was a pretty good show tonight, really, and it cooled off. I mean, the heat for a show that started at, I believe, 3 o'clock was the first act went on, and it was, I don't know what the heat index was, 115 or something. By the time Aerosmith came on, beautiful night, really good crowd, and for 70-year-old guys. I mean, I hope I can perform like that at 70, Henry.
Hey, what's, hold on. I got to have a little bit of fun with you right now because, all right, so I'm sitting here at the ballpark still, right? And tonight as I'm watching the fans were just, I mean, they were fanning themselves and trying to cool off, and it was, you know, muggy and it's superhuman and all that. I know that being out there in an atmosphere like that, I know that you sweat and there's so much perspiration, but being in an environment like that at a concert, that's actually a little bit more fun in terms of dealing with the conditions, right?
Well, I think people dress
it's festive
for a concert. It's very festive, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, there's always some issues with heat, no matter what's going on. But people had a really good time. And when by the time the sun started going down and the temperature really dropped, and it was pretty cool. It was really a good night and a good show. And I look forward to tomorrow as well.
Yeah. So there's one more day of Twin Cities Summer Jam, and it sounds like your guy Pitbull is going to be performing, right?
I don't know much about Pitbull. You know, I was
come on, you know you're a big Pitbull guy.
Of the acts, Aerosmith was the one I was looking forward to. I remember I saw them. That was the first concert I went to by myself, Henry. I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old. I can't tell you how long ago it was. Well, I could. It was 1976, I think, Aerosmith. And then my parents let me go down to the old Civic Center in St. Paul. And
so wait, that was your first concert ever, was Aerosmith?
That I went to alone. That I went,
oh, okay. Well,
without an adult. Friends, I went with a couple of friends who was out there also were, they're, I don't know, 13, 14 years old as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, really good show. And tonight, these guys can still perform. So they really command a giant stage. And it was cool. It's fun to see acts like
that. That's why they're legends. Back in, I want to say it was October, I saw Sting for the first time. And this guy is in better shape than most of us, right? I mean, he's in amazing shape, and he's just up there just doing his thing. And I'm like, this is why they're legendary performers, because they're so good at their craft.
Absolutely. When you look at their body of work and the way they're able to continue to perform, it's pretty amazing. I would say not unlike athletes, really, that know how to figure out eventually how to take care of themselves and prolong that career. I think it's fairly similar.
Yep. All right. So let's get to talking about the horses. And before we even start with any of the races that we'll dive into here this weekend, let's go back to last weekend, because right here on this show, this very segment, Faraway Kitten was a horse that we touted at Arlington, and he returned what?
It was like a $32 winner.
$32 winner. So people that bet that horse, they got paid, Jeff Maday.
We can ride on that one for a while, but you know, every now and then you get lucky like that, and you saw.
No, that was not luck. Well, we handicapped that.
I think we did, because I know what I saw when the horse ran at Canterbury and won our Mystic Lake Derby. I saw a move that really on paper you wouldn't have seen without going back and watching it and seeing what this horse did. So we got lucky. We got the perfect trip. I mean, I always have to say there's a little bit of luck when you have a big field in a turf race, but we got the perfect ride set right off the pace and just blew by with that same turn of foot that Faraway Kitten showed at Canterbury Park. So
yeah,
that was fun. It's nice to hit a 16-1 every now and then. You need those.
Absolutely. That was a nice little payday for anybody out there that listened to me and Jeff Maday last weekend. You cashed a nice little ticket on Faraway Kitten. All right, let's get to three races this weekend. Now, I guess you should at least address that Canterbury Park, in terms of from a gambling perspective, is still open. People can go out there and they can bet on the other racetracks, and they can go down to the casino and bet and all that. But in terms of actual horse races this weekend at Canterbury Park, there is no horse racing.
Right, we'll have a 10-day break here to hold this concert from live racing, but that doesn't mean that the other action stops. We've got great racing every day of the week, horse racing, simulcast betting, and of course our card casino 24/7. So you can always come out here. You just won't see the live horses until Thursday night.
Yep, no, I hear you. All right, let's get to the big race of the weekend, and that would be the Haskell at Monmouth Park. And the reason why that is the big race of the weekend, the horse that a lot of people still remember for winning the Kentucky Derby but then getting disqualified, Maximum Security. He is running and will be the favorite in the Haskell. What did you make of that particular race?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When Maximum Security won the Derby and was disqualified, they waited a month and a week, I think like five, something like that, to bring him back, and he came back in a $150,000 race. So he exits the $2 million Kentucky Derby to run an $150,000 race, which seems strange to me, Henry.
Yes.
You can make a lot of money to run a horse like that in that race. He showed the good speed that he always does and then just came up short and got passed by a horse that probably, you know, most would say is not as good as he is, King for a Day, who's also in the Haskell. So I think maybe that was just maybe a tune-up possibly for this race. I think we're going to see a better Maximum Security, but he's still going to be pressured on the front end, and sometimes when that happens with horses, you can see him falter a little bit. So I'm not going to say he's a lock. He's 8-5 on the morning line, but he certainly looks good, and we know the kind of talent that he has.
Okay, so would you say that, you know how like a lot of people look at in sports, they'll say it's this particular athlete or this team, they have to show something here so that we can think highly of them in the future. Do you think that that is the position that Maximum Security is in right here, that this horse really needs to win this race to be highly thought of going into the fall?
I do think so, because if you recall, when we talked about this horse in the spring before the Derby, this was a horse that was, in its debut, was in a maiden claiming race, a $16,000 maiden claiming race. So obviously the trainer and the owners didn't think that highly of him. And he won that one easily and then went on to win, numerous races, including the Florida Derby, which was a grade one. So he went from the very bottom to the very top and then won the Derby and was disqualified. So I do think he still has doubters that think that there is, that he's got some weaknesses, and I think he's going to have to prove it. But he is such a fast horse. He has brilliant speed, and he's shown early in his career that he could come from off the pace. So if everything is right and the workout suggests that he's been training fairly well and the trainer seems that to have him where he wants him, I have to think Maximum Security is the one to beat. Now, I don't know if you've found a horse to beat him or not.
Well, Maximum Security is going to be the favorite, and he should be, but I'm going to go with the five-horse Mucho Gusto.
You like those West Coast shippers.
I'm more of an East Coast guy and a lot of the horses that run in Kentucky, but I bet this horse once early on in the back over the winter, and I really did like the horse. Now, unfortunately, it didn't do well enough to get on the Kentucky Derby trail, but I'm going to go ahead and I think he'll probably be, the second favorite in this race, second or third favorite in this race?
It depends how much action King for a Day, who did the Maximum Security takes. But, yeah, he'll be somewhere between 2-1 and 3-1.
Yeah, if I can get 3-1, I'm betting a horse.
And I could see that. You're right. He was very well thought of, won the Robert Lewis, which is a stepping stone to the Santa Anita Derby and then the Kentucky Derby, but had to take a bit of a break after that race, so just never really got back on track until it was too late to get to the Derby. But has won back-to-back races, including the affirmed a Grade 3 race at Santa Anita. So Mucho Gusto, again, a horse with speed but doesn't need to take to the lead. So I think you're probably going to have first run at the leaders with Mucho Gusto.
And he's got a pretty good trainer in Bob Baffert.
Bob Baffert's won a few big races along the way. Yeah,
yes,
wrong there, and he generally doesn't ship unless he's serious. So, and I like to see the traditional kind of Bob Baffert very fast morning workouts, which Mucho Gusto has. So, this is going to be a heck of a horse race. No one's handing it to Maximum Security. That's for sure.
All right, we're talking to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on Lake's Big Bet on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, let's go to the Molly pitcher at Monmouth Park. To me, I mean, Midnight Bisou is the horse to beat, and he's going to be the heavy favorite. I'm struggling to bet the race. If I had a ton of money, when I say a ton of money, if I had just a lot of money to blow, I'd probably just put it on Midnight Bisou and just get whatever I can get back on this race. But the one horse in here that's a little bit interesting is Pacific Wind, and strictly from a class perspective.
Yeah, and it's Chad Brown, who's another, if you talk about Bob Baffert on the West Coast winning a lot of races, Chad Brown wins all the races on the East Coast. So Pacific Wind at 8-1 probably is worth looking at. Midnight Bisou, though, is just, this filly is she's won 9 of 15 races, almost $3 million, has, such tactical speed and just real brilliance. And you get Mike Smith, who's another guy who certainly knows how to get to the winner's circle in graded races. So I think Midnight Bisou just slowly making her way to the Breeders' Cup. She ran in the Breeders' Cup last year, which is always the first week in November, and ran third, but was in against some pretty good company and took some money that day. But I think this is the path now that trainer Steve Asmussen is going to take. He's going to pick off some races like this, and she's 3-5 on the morning line, and she'll probably be you know, could be less than 3-5. So you're right. This is a tough race to really get super excited about unless you can find a reason to beat Midnight Bisou. So I you know, if you want to take a stab here with Pacific Wind, you're going to get all of 8-1, and I can't blame you for that.
All right,
you got a little bit of that Faraway Kitten money to spend now anyway.
You know what? Let me spend a little bit of that money in this Del Mar race. Del Mar, okay, let's talk about that track for a second. Del Mar opened up on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday was opening day there. We had Saratoga the week before and then Del Mar. So we're in the peak of probably some of the most exciting racing of the year, really.
All right, so Del Mar opened up on Wednesday. They have the San Clemente. That's coming up this weekend. And in that race, the class of the race is the 8-horse Stillwater Cove. But in that race, and that horse will probably go off as the favorite at 5-2, 3-1. But I'm going to go with the 6, overemphasize, shortening up a bit, and should like the distance. I'm going to go with the overemphasize.
Interesting pick. Yeah, and Stillwater Cove is a horse who hasn't run since mid-May, so a little bit of a layoff here. And it's a horse that comes from the East Coast, now shipping over to the West Coast. But this horse was able to ship, was shipped over to Ascot in Great Britain after winning at Keeneland in Kentucky. It didn't run really well there, but those were some of the best horses in the world, but then came right back last year to Saratoga and won. So Stillwater Cove can move around without any worries. I would like to beat that horse as well, though, and the horse I'm going to use is the 9 Maxim Rate. I just believe that milers are milers. If you can find a good miler, and Maxim Rate is 2-for-2 going a mile distance. This is a 1 mile on the turf. I think this horse has a lot of upside here. Might be the fastest finisher of them all. Not a big price, 3-1, but I'm hoping that we get that price. So number 9, Maxim Rate, is my pick at Del Mar in the San Clemente.
All right, before we're done, you got a couple of things coming up here in regards to Canterbury Park. Friday is Cocktail Classics. Cocktail Classics. Tell me about that.
That's an interesting event. It's one of the kind of events that we do that we sell. It's a separate from live racing, although it takes place up in our Triple Crown room, so you can look out over and watch the live races. But we have a bunch of distillers, local distilleries, in with their products, and people can sample those along with some appetizers from our executive chef. So it's a cool night. We do another one. We've done it earlier, which was Uncorked, which was local wine. This is now Minnesota Distilleries, so that's a cool thing, and you can get info on the website then. And then we roll right into the next day, one of your favorite days, the Wiener Dog and Donuts Day, where we have Wiener Dog races. That was our original breed. Now, you mentioned Pitbull, and I guess time will tell, but there's a chance that Pitbull might be the fifth most popular dog at Canterbury this summer. You've got Corgis, you've got Wiener Dogs, Basset Hounds drew 19,000 people, Bulldogs drew 16,000 people, so Pitbull tomorrow's got his work cut out for him if he can beat these other dogs. That's all I can say. Now, I know nothing against Pitbull. I'm sure he could draw a big crowd, but he's, you know, if he wants to make the top 5 of dog breeds, he's going to have to step it up.
You're going to make him work for it.
Yeah, and then after that, you know, the day after Sunday is a day that I think is really important. And you know that jockeys are some of the best athletes, and they also take some of the biggest risks of in any sport. And Leg Up Day is we started the Leg Up Fund back in 2014, and that's to provide assistance to jockeys who get hurt. We're not talking, you know, major injuries. We're talking injuries that prevent them from riding for a month or two or three or four. And this Leg Up Fund will provide funds to them to, you know, to buy groceries, to keep their lights on, things like that. Because if you think about what a jockey, they don't have a guaranteed contract. If a jockey gets hurt, he has no income. He or she has no income. And that's kind of the beauty of the Leg Up Fund. And our race fans here over the years, there's been different funds, national funds, the Don McBeth Fund, and so on. Our fans, trainers, and horse owners have been so generous. And I know they will again next Sunday for Leg Up Day. So that, to me, is a pretty important day because I've gotten to be good friends with some of these jockeys. We know riders that have been permanently injured, like Ann Von Rosen and Paul Nolan, that were part of the Canterbury family that went to other tracks and got hurt. And it's a dangerous job, and these jockeys they're out there, you know, we're betting on them having a great time, but there's a very serious side to this business as well, and making sure these guys have what they need, that support they need when they're coming back is crucial.
Yep, no question. Hey, Jeff Madej, we'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, Henry, let's win. Let's do some winning tomorrow, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, take care. That's Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on Lake's Big Bet. All right, coming up next, yesterday Corey Heppala was out at Carl Anthony Towns' basketball camp, and Kat said something that had me scratching my head. We'll get to that next here on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on Newstalk A30 WCCL. Henry Lake hanging out here at Target Field until 1 o'clock. Thanks again to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Trying to make you guys some money. If you listened to me last week, $32 winner, you would have got paid. You would have got paid. That's a nice hit last week. Very nice hit. Anyway, let's talk about Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves for a second. I'll get to the draft picks on Monday. We were going to talk about the draft picks, and I was at the press conference yesterday for Jarrett Culver and the other rookies that they're going to have on the squad this year. But we'll get to that on Monday night after the Twins game. But for this segment, I do want to get to something that was said on WCCO yesterday, because Corey Hepola, hey, it's Corey Hepola. He was broadcasting live from Karl Anthony Towns basketball camp. And Kat said something in the interview that was interesting to me. Now, I know that the young kids, they say, what, throw shade? That we throw shade on people? I felt like he threw a little bit of shade at the last coaching staff of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I know that Tibbs isn't here anymore and all of that. I was a little bit surprised that Cat went down that road. Listen to this. We're going to play the audio here in just one second. It's Karl Anthony Towns talking about the culture of the Wolves and the coaching staff, because there's a new coaching staff, and Gerson Rosas is the new president of basketball ops. Listen to what Cat had to say about the new culture of the Wolves.
I think that I'm very blessed that I have a great front office like I do. I have a great coaching staff. I mean, I think we have the best coaching staff in the game right now, from a talent, experience, and just culture standpoint. And the culture we're building here is something special. So I'm very happy. I'm very glad that we're introducing Culver and Noel to a culture that we possess now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the situation before would have been very beneficial for them, and that's a disrespect and a slap in the face to their development.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to make sure that they develop not only as players, but as human beings and as men. And, you know, that's what we're here to do in Minnesota.
Okay, so you could clearly hear that he's bought into the new individuals that are here and all of that. But I'm a little bit confused by this, okay? And look, I totally get repping the squad. And I personally, I'm a fan of Gerson Rosas, and I am buying into things that he's saying and what he's preaching and just having conversations with him and listening to him talking, and also just being around him and some of the new guys and Pablo and Kevin Burleson. I like the new staff, but you know, one thing that you preach in sports is sample size. What is the sample size that Karl Anthony Towns has gotten from the Minnesota Timberwolves that tells him that this is the best coaching staff in the NBA? I don't think that we have enough information to say that. Now, I hope that that's the case. And clearly, I've known Ryan Saunders for a long time, since he was a little kid. You heard him earlier this week talk about me coaching him in basketball camps when he was a kid, right? You heard that right here on the show. So, of course, I'm going to ride or die with Ryan Saunders and the T-Wolves. But for Kat to say that we have the best staff in the league and we got the best – man, we're the Timberwolves. We got a ways to go. Like, we're not Golden State right now. We're not the Boston Celtics from years ago. Heck, we're not even the Minneapolis Lakers. For him to say that we got the best coaching staff in the league, man, Cat, bro, love you, but pump your brakes on that one. Steve Kerr, he's pretty good. Greg Popovich, he's pretty good. But the best coaching staff in the league? That surprised me a little bit. And that's clearly throwing shade at Tibbs. It is. That's throwing a lot of shade at the old regime. Think about that for a second. That caught me off guard when he said that yesterday. That really did. Because he said that because I was pulling up to the press conference, because I went over to the press conference. It was over in St. Paul at the Conway Community Center in St. Paul for Jarrett Culver and Jalen Noel and Naz Reid. And Gerson Rosas was there also, Ryan Saunders was there. So everybody was there. And you could see on Fox Sports North my shiny ball head on TV. And if you look on the website, there's pictures of me standing next to some of the players. But the best coaching staff in the NBA, wow, that's – Ryan, Cat's putting you on the spot, baby. I'm telling you right now. All right, coming up next, well, the news came across and it broke this morning in regards to one of the big stories in the National Football League in the offseason, where one of its stars is not going to be suspended. And quite frankly, I was shocked and I'm a little bit disappointed in one aspect of this case. We get to that next year on Late Night. Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. National Football League going to be back in action before you know it. We're talking about training camp next week, people. Seriously, training camp. Training camp is coming up next week. Like, we're all getting psyched and pumped for the National Football League. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, because some people are a little bit down on the NFL right now, and it's understandable. I get it. But I'm one of those guys. I need to go, this weekend, go buy me a fantasy football magazine, figure out who I want to take with my pick, you know, because I tend to do I do all right, fantasy football. Nobody wants to hear about that, though. But football is going to be back here in, preseason is going to be jumping off in, 3 weeks? 3 weeks? And then we'll have the regular season is going to be back in, six? Right after Labor Day? So we're psyched. We're getting pumped. A team that had a spectacular season last year was the Kansas City Chiefs. And they had a spectacular season because, they got the reigning MVP in the league, Patrick Mahomes. The kid was remarkable. He is the future of the National Football League. He is. There's a lot of good players in the league. A lot of good players. But when it comes to young players, there was no one last year more dynamic, exciting than Patrick Mahomes. And when you see a quarterback with that amount of talent, with that type of arm, that's a rarity. I mean, he is a special, special quarterback. And part of the reason why he's so damn good is not just because he's that good, but also the weapons that he has around him in Kansas City. He plays for Andy Reid, who's an offensive genius. He's a wizard. Okay, that's what we've been saying for many years. And he's got a solid offensive line. He's had good running backs throughout the years in Kansas City in terms of Andy Reid. I know Patrick Mahomes has only been in the league 2 years. But he also has the best tight end in the league, Travis Kelce. And then he also has some good wideouts. Okay, Sammy Watkins, okay, he hasn't lived up to the hype coming out of Clemson. But Tyreek Hill, the controversial Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has been someone that has been under the microscope ever since he came into the National Football League. And he came into the National Football League as a draft pick, a late round pick by the Chiefs. And he fell far because there was an incident that occurred at Oklahoma State in which he allegedly brutalized his then-pregnant girlfriend, Crystal Espinal. And the allegation was that he strangled her, beat her up while she was pregnant. And he was dismissed. And he actually, he pled guilty to that. And so he was dismissed from Oklahoma State. He ended up at a smaller college. And the Chiefs took a flyer on him because they said that they had investigated and vetted him and he was a changed person. And that he was not going to make any mistakes being a part of the culture of the Chiefs and what they had going on there. that Andy Reid was going to be able to mold him into being a better person. Okay? So he came in under the microscope, and the fans there were ticked off. How do I know? I was hosting middays there, and I got the reaction from fans. Heck, I was vocal. I didn't like the fact that they drafted him. I was disappointed. And the Chiefs have had a few, they've had a few issues. Kareem Hunt last year, the video came out about him and him kicking a female, and they dismissed him, and he got picked up by the Cleveland Browns. He also had a little bit of a situation before that, so he was kind of already on the hot seat, I think. Frank Clark, who they acquired via trade this offseason, and they signed to a big money contract. He had a domestic issue years ago that people will not forget about when he was this was at Michigan, just getting ready to be drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. So they've had some players with issues. But the latest thing with Tyreek Hill was this story about abusing his son. And the problem with this particular story is that they never could get to the bottom of who was responsible for harming this child. So the NFL investigated to whatever extent that they can do an investigation. Child Protection has removed the kid. Okay. They've removed the child from both mom and dad, from the couple. But they can't figure out who's responsible for breaking the little boy's arm, which is extremely disappointing. So because they cannot actually get to the bottom of it, they're in a situation where he's not going to be disciplined by the National Football League. So now, let me step back for a second. They were going down the road of looking at his behavior and investigating and all this, but then there's this 11-minute conversation that is unveiled. Initially, when this stuff about the kid and the kid being injured came up, there was a secret recording from the girlfriend or the fiance at the time that basically made him to look like he had harmed the kid. And it was just a snippet. It was like about, I think it was like 45 seconds snippet of it. And it sounded really bad. It sounded really bad. And legitimately, there's a moment on there where he made the comment that when she said that your son is scared of you, and he says, well, you should be scared of me too, which I take that as a threat. Well, I listened to the entire 11 minutes. I didn't listen to just the 45 seconds that everybody knew about for the last month and a half, couple of months. The 11 minutes came out 2 weeks ago. The full audio came out 2 weeks ago. I listened to it, to every single second. And in that particular context, I'm going to admit, it seems rather shady, the conversation that they're having. Now, he doesn't come off as a saint. He doesn't come off as an angel. But she comes across as she's got a big role in this, and it doesn't seem like she's doing everything above board or that she's made a lot of mistakes. It's almost like she set him up for some things, okay? So I'm looking at her and him in a negative light. But this is the problem that I have with the National Football League, is the part where whether she was in the wrong or not, I heard on video him make a threat or try to intimidate her, a woman, by saying that she should be afraid of him too. And that's unacceptable. And I'm shocked that the National Football League didn't find, at least in that particular case, that they would not give him at least a game. That's disappointing to me, because I've said this for a while. If we're going to take domestic violence and be serious about it, then it shouldn't matter who the player is. And I know that every situation is different. It's things are unique. But I heard that part. And for him to get absolutely nothing, it surprised me a little bit. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, who's been all over this, he was on my former station in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, earlier today on the Show and Vern show. And this is what Florio had to say about Tyreek Hill getting no games.
Well, I was surprised by that simply because the comment that we all heard an hour before the draft began on that Thursday night back in April, the "you need to be terrified of me too" remark to Crystal Espinal, the audio that got the Chiefs to abruptly dismiss Tyreek Hill from the balance of the offseason program, I thought that at a minimum there would be some sort of discipline for that threat that was made by Hill to a woman that he previously pleaded guilty to assaulting when she was pregnant. So at a minimum, I thought that would spark some sort of discipline. Last year, Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith was suspended 4 games for making threats and engaging in emotional abuse of the mother of his child. So I thought there would at least be something, a fine, something imposed on Tyreek Hill. And the thing that surprises me, and I'm trying to get an explanation from the league, didn't even address that remark. That was the remark that caused the Chiefs to tell him basically go home and stay home for the rest of the offseason program. And that remark wasn't even addressed. The issue of any comments made to Crystal Espinal wasn't addressed in the statement that was issued by the NFL earlier this morning that announces that there won't be any punishment whatsoever of Hill. So that is why I was the most surprised. I knew they were going to have trouble getting the evidence necessary to support a finding of child abuse or any other potential violation of the personal conduct policy that would relate to the 3-year-old son of Tyreek Hill. But I thought the smoking gun was laying on the table as it relates to some sort of punishment for that statement he made to Crystal Espinal on tape that was never disputed by his representatives.
All right, so to me, at the end of the day, the secret audio that his fiancée at the time brought forth to authorities, it backfired and basically exonerated him. But it should not have exonerated him to the degree that it did, because he still threatened her and he still should have got a game. And my opinion and my words to the National Football League is do better. Do better. If you love kids, if you love women, and you care about domestic violence, do better. Final segment of Late Night coming up next year on Newstalk A30 WCCO. All right, welcome back. Final segment here on Late Night Newstalk A30 WCCO. I'm all choked up right now. I'm not going to reveal what I saw in that commercial break, but we're going to come up with a segment. Me and Chris are going to come up with a segment for next week or for the coming weeks. Basically about, you can't disrespect certain people. Like, the slander will not be allowed for certain people in certain situations. Like, there's certain things in sports where it's so, I'm so choked up still, that it's so obvious that you can't go there. Like, you legit can't talk bad about certain people in certain situations. The disrespect will not be allowed. So we're going to create a segment. What did you say the name of it should be? Or what's the possible name, did you say, Chris?
Well, something that I've done in other stops is Throw Shade Thursday.
Throw Shade Thursday.
Yeah, and it's basically you just look at these guys that are throwing shade and you know, throwing shade, talking mess, just kind of whatever.
And it makes no sense, right?
And it makes no sense. Yeah. Okay. The best part about it is it's completely unfounded.
Okay. All
That's
right.
the
yep.
best part.
Yep. We're going to start that next week because we got the perfect candidate. I guess the tease will be, man, I'm all choked up over here.
Are you going to be able to contain yourself for another, what, 6 days?
Yeah, I will be able to contain myself. Yes,
okay.
I will. Yes, I will.
All right.
All right. Before we get out of here, and I know we only got, what, 3 minutes left. But a disappointing weekend for a lot of sports fans. And I know it's only Friday, but Tiger Woods didn't make the cut in the Open. He didn't make the cut. So a lot of sports fans, what do you love doing when it comes to golf? Okay, you love watching majors. And what's the best part of watching majors? Is wondering, is Tiger going to be able to win a major? Well, we already know the answer to that now. No. It's not happening. Tiger. Dunzo. And it sounds like physically he's struggling right now. He mentioned his game's not up to par. No pun intended. Right now. This is what I'd like to say about Tiger Woods. And this is the one thing we have to understand about Tiger Woods. That when it comes to Tiger Woods, we cannot bank on him being a given. You can't. Because physically, he's going to be in rough shape some tournaments. And then in other tournaments, if he's got enough rest or he's, you know, feeling better, then maybe he'll be brilliant. It's going to be, I think, for the rest of his career, it could be just one of those roller coasters. I personally think that's what we should expect from him moving forward. Not for him to be bad every weekend, but for him to be inconsistent. I don't think that Tiger Woods is somebody you can bank on in terms of performance. And think about how much money people are going to wager on him when they're going out there betting in golf on Tiger Woods. That's a tough roll of the dice right there. Now, granted, it's Tiger Woods. So you're saying, you know what, it's gambling anyway. Why not gamble on the best golfer or one of the best golfers to ever do it? That's a great risk, right? I understand it. I get that. But, man, his health is just so shaky that when it comes to 1 week to the next, 1 week you might get brilliance. The next week you might get a train wreck. You do not know what you're going to get from Tiger Woods. So we'll see how things shake out with Tiger. But, yeah, that's – I got to be honest. Will I watch the Open this weekend? Probably. I'll probably watch. I probably will. But for me, it's all about Twins baseball this weekend. We got to win this series, man. We got to get it done. Get it done. Because you know who we got coming in here after the A's. We got the big bad boys from the Bronx. We got the Yankees. It's going to be interesting. It's getting real, people. We're still in first place by 3 games, but it's getting real out here. Hey, thanks to Chris Tubbs for producing. Thanks to Dave Josephson back there assisting as well. We will talk to you guys Monday night. After Twins baseball on Final Pitch and Lake Night, have an awesome weekend.